You know what this is? For you young people, this is called a letter. We used to meticulously write these letters out, fold them just right, fit them in an envelope or envelope, wherever you're from, put stamps on it, go to the mailbox and drop it in, and magically it would show up almost instantaneously within a week at wherever your destination was. And these letters held valuable information. Remember? Remember the valuable information they had? Oh, honey, sugar, baby, I love you so much. Or, dear John, I don't. Or how about, I had a cousin in Vietnam and we would write letters back and forth. And that was the coolest thing. I never realized I could just drop this in that box and it would end up in Vietnam. And then he would write back to me. And we did this back and forth and back and forth. Or how about, Mom and Dad, college is great, send more money. Now it's instantaneously, right? We got emails, we got text messages. Is anybody in here not own a cell phone? That's what I thought. The old days, the good old days, the letters that meant a lot, we would send them out, we would get them back. You know, my mother had all the letters that my dad sent her in the service. And they were in envelopes like this, and she had just like two big old things wrapped up with rubber bands. And my dad had sent them from the service. Well, one day my brother found those letters and decided he was going to be the postman. And the neighbors got letters. Yeah, my mother was so embarrassed because some of them probably had some things in it that maybe she didn't want the neighbors to know. But those were the good old days when we got letters. I have a large family. I've gotten some letters over the time. I brought one here. This is from my son, Colby. He was working through the Job Corps. And he sent this letter. It's probably in the mid-90s. It says, Dad, hey, how are you? I am fine, just sitting here being bored. Well, me and Mary Beth broke up again. It's going good, isn't it? This time for good. And I met a girl named Kim from Madisonville, Kentucky. She is coming to pick me up next weekend. So how is everything? I can't believe that I passed my GED. We didn't either. This was wonderful. It was great. I'm very excited about it. Me and my friend Wesley may transfer to the Mississippi Job Corps. I hope we're able to. Grandma Dillard is sending me a book of 32-cent stamps so I don't have to buy two stamps for one letter. I notice he has two 29-cent stamps on there, so he was being conservative. I guess that's all he could get. He said that girl Kim said that she would pick me up and take me home for the weekend. She said that she would take me home every weekend if I wanted. I never knew Kim. I didn't know Mary Beth. But I don't want to take advantage of that. She is the best-looking, nicest girl I ever went with. I am very happy. Well, I guess I'll go now. Write you back soon. I love you, Colby. Those were letters that we got. Aren't those the coolest thing? Now, I have to say, I only have one child here today, and this is my favorite letter of all time. And it came with a dollar. It says, Dear Dad, you are great. Greater than some fudge. Merry Christmas, Amanda. She signed it too. I don't know how old she was, but she couldn't write very well. But she gave me a dollar. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul. And Paul was notorious for writing letters, epistles we call them. And he wrote 13 of them, and they're squeezed between the book of Acts and the book of Hebrews. 9 of those were written to churches on various subjects about Christian behavior, how you're supposed to act, how the church was supposed to act, to beware of certain things going on in the church. And keep in mind, when Paul wrote these letters, I'm sure he had no clue how God was going to use this. I'm sure he had no clue the over 1950, however long, many years ago, he wrote the letters, how God was going to use these letters to impact your life. Because, you know, Paul was writing letters to Keystone Church at the time. He was writing letters to us that we can utilize on how to act. I remember in one letter he said, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what's helpful for building others up. Unwholesome talk, don't let it come out of your mouth. That's a lesson to us, right? That means don't anything that's harming to somebody, don't let it come out of your mouth, ever. He'd write letters to the Romans, and he says, no, you don't get saved by works, you get saved by faith. And I think on the book of Romans, there was this little thing called the Reformation that came out. Because then we realized that we were justified by faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. Not paying indulgences. We were justified. And then there's four letters that he wrote to individuals. A couple of them to Timothy on how to run the church, how to be a pastor. One to Titus on kind of the qualifications of church elders in the church. He even wrote a character reference to a guy named Philemon because there was a slave of his, Onesimus, that had robbed him blind, met Paul, and became a Christian and went back to Philemon. But I want to look at one particular letter he wrote today. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. It's right after 1 Thessalonians. Good thing I told you that. When Paul wrote letters, he had two threads that went through them. The first thread that went through his letters that was entangled in all of us, entwined in all of his letters, was the message of salvation, was the good news of Jesus Christ. He said in the book of Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek." In Ephesians, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not by your own selves, by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So throughout his letters, he had this message of salvation, this good news of Jesus Christ. Paul says that he's a bond slave to Jesus Christ. Paul says that he suffered for Jesus Christ and he considered it what? Joy to suffer for him. So that entwined through all of his messages, this message of Jesus Christ. The other thing that went through his messages was the message of love. But it's not just the message of God's love. You see, love itself is a gift from God. The ability to love is a gift from God. I'm talking about true love. I'm talking about that love after many, many years of marriage that you realize those vows you took 60 years ago, you realize those vows on a deathbed till death do us part. You see, that's love. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, "If I don't have love, I become a noisy gong. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous. Love does not brag." You see, that's the kind of love. It was a gift from God that we have the ability to love like Christ loved us. You know, the kind of love that a mother has for that newborn baby. That kind of love that I will put myself between harm's way and my children. You know the kind of love I'm talking about? The kind of real love that you have for a spouse that's for better or worse, till death do you part. That's the love that I'm talking about. And that's a gift. There's special love, there's special gifts that He gives us that cannot be realized except through obedience to Him. You see, if a man and woman live together like they're married before they're married, there's a special gift of love that they only realize from being pure in their marriage. And outside of that, you can never realize that gift. That doesn't mean God won't bless you, but there's a special gift that He gives to those that wait. In Thessalonians, I just want to share with you real quick. Second chapter, verse 13. We're just going to hit a couple of paragraphs here down to from 13 to 17. It says, "But we should always give thanks for you." Paul's saying that we should always give thanks for each other. Do you do that in your prayers? You know, Kenny and King get paid for to be good. You all are good for nothing. I know. It was a stretch, wasn't it? But do you do that? Do you pray for each other? Do you give thanks for having the people in our church, the acquaintances? Do you have a love for one another like we're told to have? Then he goes on to say, "To give thanks to you, brethren, beloved by our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Jesus has a special love, one so much that He doesn't want to be separated from us. And He so much doesn't want to be separated from us that He gave Himself as a propitiation, the perfect sacrifice, to cover all sins so that we could be reconciled with us, with Him again. That's how much Jesus loves us. There's a song, I'm sure y'all know, it goes, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Why? The Bible tells me so. Jesus gave up His life for us, for you, for me, and for the whole world. That's how much He loves us. We can't even fathom that kind of love. If we compare that love to how we love our children and our wives and our spouses, that love doesn't even exist compared to how much He loves us. We can't even fathom it. So today I want you to remember through this whole message that Jesus loves you. He really loves you in a special way that at times we have a hard time realizing or fathoming, or maybe never do we realize the depth of His love. But He loves you. Then Paul goes on to say, "Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and truth." God chose you from the beginning. Before you were anything, God chose you because He loves you. Now I want you to wrap your mind around that. I remember carrying Kevin. That's good, isn't it, that I remember you. They were trying to have children. And finally they had a child. And I don't think Carrie and Kevin realized before they had a child how much they truly love that child. It's not the same, is it? We have an imaginary love. I think I'm going to love this child. We all have that child that's a challenge, right? My son Daniel says we got to him and said, "Finally." Not sure about that. But our imaginary love for a child that we haven't got yet is nothing compared to the love we actually have for that child. But see, God loved us equally before we were and after we were. He loved us the same. His love doesn't change. So He planned for us to be sanctified. He gave us an opportunity. He predestined a process through Jesus Christ that we could be saved and be reconciled through Him. That the only sacrifice great enough to cover all the sins of the world was God Himself. So Jesus came, He was sin free, and He was sacrificed. That's how much of a love that God has for us. 14 says, "It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you understand what that means? That means that our glory will be equal to what Jesus' glory will be. That when we get to the glory on the other side of this world, that we get to share the glory of Jesus Christ. We are adopted to Jesus Christ. We are His brother. Do you realize what that is? Do you know how much God had to love you to do that? We could say, "Jesus loves me, this I know, because 2 Thessalonians tells me so," right? That's how much He loves us. And then 15 it says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." God loved us so much that He gave us His word. He used people like Paul to write this down, not knowing, not having a clue what the future meant for his writings. But God took those and used those for us. He wrote them down for us. It's by word. He gave us extraordinarily good-looking preachers. But that's how much He loved us. He gave us His word. We don't have to guess. We have it right here. We can know God through this word. We can have an intimate relationship with Him through this word. And verse 16 says, "Now may your Lord Jesus Himself and God our Father, who has loved us, given us eternal life and good hope by grace." What more do you need? You got God's love, you got eternal life, and you have hope through His grace. What more do you need? It's easy, right? Yet some of you sitting out there today don't feel loved by God. You don't feel loved by anybody. Because the world has taken a hold of you and run you through the ringer. And not only do you struggle giving love, you have a struggle and you have a hard time receiving love. You see, God understands that. He loves you anyway. His love for you does not depend on your love for Him. Your salvation is dependent on your accepting of Him. But He loves you. Jesus died for everybody. And it breaks his heart when somebody doesn't come to Him through faith. But see, we go through struggles in life. Death. We've had far too much at this church. It's time for death to go away from this church for a while. Amen? We have struggled with this. And we ask the question, why? Karen and George, they were in their 50s, way too young. And we ask why. And when we look at that, we struggle with maybe, does God really love us like he says? Is there something I'm doing? Is my performance not right? That I'm not kind of hooking up with God? Is there something wrong? Well, see, it's not based on your performance. He loves you. And he knows that you struggle. With everybody's eyes open, if you've had struggles in the last year, raise your hand. And if you haven't had struggles, I will pray for you about the lion. We've all had struggles. We have shared struggles in this church with each other. But God loves you anyway. And I'm going to share some really good news with you. And it's kind of tucked away and hidden down inside this book of Thessalonians at the very end of the second chapter. And you read over it, and maybe it doesn't resonate what it means. But at the end of this thing, he says, "Now may God your Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved you and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." Okay. God, comfort me. Comfort me, God. Comfort me, God. You ever ask that? Comfort me, God. Make it go away. Comfort me, God. Make me feel better. Here's the good news. That word comfort has nothing to do with your feelings. That word comfort is made up of two words, parakaleo. And para means to walk alongside of you. And kaleo means to cry out. See, Jesus is asking you to cry out to him, and he will walk alongside of you. He doesn't take the magic wand and go, boom, you're comforted. He's saying, no, I will walk alongside with you. I will put my arm around you, and I will walk alongside of you through your trials and your tribulation and your discomforts in life. I will be right there with you. So this thing, comfort, is not some strange, mystic way that he makes you feel better about things. It's his way of saying, come with me, and I will walk through the fire with you. And then the next word is strengthen your hearts. Your hearts is your life, okay? That's when he talks about heart, he talks about your life. I'll strengthen it. And that doesn't mean you're going to be big and strong like Devin is or like I am. What it means is that he will set you firmly in the right direction. Does that sound pretty good? He's going to set you firmly in the right direction. Then he's going to put his arm around you and walk along with you in that direction. In your works and your word. Now, when he says he's going to do this in your heart, that means there's change in there. That means that you have to allow this to happen. It's in that heart there. It's in the center of your system. It's not in your mind. It's not just thinking. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's in your heart. And Jesus is going to walk alongside of you. And he's saying, cry out to me, and I will walk with you through the tough times, through the marriage situations, through the financial situations, through the death situations. I'm there. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I will put my arm around you, and I will walk right with you in the direction that I've set you in. Is that good news? Isn't that awesome? Some of you today are saying, yeah, but you don't know my situation. I don't. God does. If you want one of two people to know your situation, you better pick God and not me. I'm not that sympathetic at times. Candy fell and broke her ankle and her knee, and I told her to walk it off. And I'll never forget her. She smiled when the doctor told her it was broken. I think she was getting back at me. Walk it off. So now I get hurt. She says, I'll just rub some dirt on it. It'll be fine. See, I'm not the guy that you want compassion from. It's Jesus is the guy that you want. Put his arm around you and to walk with you and to give you strength to set you in the right direction. That's all I have to say today. Jesus loves you more than you can fathom. And he wants to walk with you and direct you. And if you're struggling today and you need to cry out to him, that word comfort, parakaleo, if you need to cry out to him, to ask him to come be alongside you, and there's something in your life that you just can't get over, if you want to come to the altar today and pray, you're more than welcome to. You guys play something? But if you want to pray right there where you're at, I'm not going to embarrass you. Because Jesus doesn't need you here. He'll meet you right where you're at. So bow your heads with me. If you want to come up and pray, that's fine. But bow your heads with me. Father, Lord, as we look into your word that you so generously gave us because of your love for us, and we realize that through our hurts, through our disappointments, through our fears, that if we cry out to you, that you will put your arm around us and walk with us through those issues in our life. And Lord, if we're walking in the wrong direction, you will turn us and face us in the right direction and set us on that course. And then throughout our lives, we'll realize a love that we will not be able to fathom. And then one day when we're in glory, we will see you face to face. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.